Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to continue our study tonight on the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm calling it the Holy Spirit and His gifts to us. The Holy Spirit and His gifts to us. Now, we're going to reuse our Bibles tonight. Stay here in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to spend a lot of time of our Bible study tonight here. We'll just turn to one or two other passages. I'll refer to others. But I want you to get tonight, once you found it, look at me for just a second. Top of your head's not real appealing, especially some of you. But if you'll listen to me tonight, I promise you, one of the most misunderstood, mistaught, misrepresented doctrines of the Holy Spirit are the gifts of the Spirit. Promise you. I will give you straight scripture tonight. This is not my opinion. This is not what somebody taught me in a book somewhere. The only one that taught it to me in the book is the Holy Spirit out of that book right there. You don't need another book to tell you what God said. He made it plain enough. I think I can help you tonight. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start reading in verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, watch the next word. Brethren. Okay, look at me. Is that saved people or lost people? Saved people. So God's talking to saved people here. Here we go again. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. By the way, the charismatics talk about, oh, I was led by the Spirit. I feel like I'm being led. That's where they get this passage. All right? They're not... Notice it says about to the, led to the dumb idols. Here we go. Verse number 3. Wherefore, don't worry, the whole night's not going to be that way. All right. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, small s or capital S. So that's the Holy Spirit. So no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Watch this. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now watch this. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. Skip down to verse number 25. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts that show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, look back at me, if you will. In today's world, the term, the gifts of the Spirit, have been turned into something so far from what God intended it to be. Today, people use this term to, I'm going to use a word that's what they would use, to prove their spirituality. You are to discover your God-given gift and use that and develop that gift. That's how they use it. I did this. I didn't know for sure it could be done, but I went online today. You can look anywhere online and Google spiritual test, spiritual gift test. You can sit down on your computer and push a bunch of answers, and it will magically tell you what your spiritual gift is. Folks, you don't have to Google the Holy Ghost. By the way, there's a little video that went with the one I was looking at. He said, I know, I've got some of you bloggers out there that are atheists that have taken this and blogged back and said, well, I'm an atheist, but you said my spiritual gift is this. That proves that test will not work. Just so you know. We have people that have spent their whole life trying to figure out what a gift is. And I hate to tell you, most of them aren't even saved that are looking for it, and they can't even get it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Most of them develop this gift to show everybody how good of a Christian they are. I'm going to make a statement here. We are the Grace Baptist Church. We are a body of believers. Did you catch that? We are a local body of believers. We collectively make up a church, a body. There is no such thing as a universal body of Christ. Just like, I'll use their mentality with you. All of us make up one church. But all churches don't make up one church. Just like Ron does not make up my body. Nor does Mrs. Hawkins make up my body. You say, that's ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous to say that all churches make up one body of Christ. There are many members in my body. Guess what? There are many members in the body of Grace Baptist Church. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's how you explain that. Now, we are all part of a local body. If you know of an invisible body, okay, you're weird. Okay, there's no such thing. Okay? But I want you to notice, all body parts are important and needed. If not, they wouldn't be there. Listen to this. Though your body can function without certain parts. Did you catch that? It can function without certain parts. But it hinders its productivity. It slows it down. Brother Taylor's missing part of a finger. My mom just lost a toe here last week, part of a toe. Brother Ron's sitting back there, and he stuck his foot up his mouth too far, and they had to amputate it at the knee. Okay? He had his foot all the way up in his mouth too far, and they had to cut it off. Now, all three of them are here tonight. Guess what? Their body is still functioning. How many of you have lost an appendix, all right, or a gallbladder? Some of you have, all right? You know, there's certain body parts that you can do without, but they're there for a purpose. You may have to watch a little here or watch a little there. You got to change a little here, change a little there, what you do dietary-wise or whatever. But there's always an ability to keep on going without most of your body parts. Now, you can't lose them all in a certain digression, or you're going to heaven, amen? But a good, healthy body has all of its parts, and what parts they do have left that might not even all be there are functioning well. Now, let me show you what I mean. At the same time, we would call something deformed if it weren't right. If you had a body that had a 3 foot long eyeball, you would say, that person's got troubles. You say, that's ridiculous. That's deformed. Something's not right. That's why you thinking that you're more important in your position at church is more important than anybody else is, you're wrong. We're all to work together. If somebody had a 2 foot long ear, okay, Mike Tyson would have a feast. Somebody had a 2 foot long ear. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Some of you don't understand sports well. It's a boxer who got in trouble because he bit a guy's ear off. All right. Well, in a boxing match, bit his ear off. But if somebody had a 2 foot ear, you would say that person's deformed. If somebody had a 2 foot long nose, you'd call him a Jew. I mean, you would. You would say something's wrong with that person. I know I shouldn't joke like that, but I did. Let's face it. You would say something's wrong with that person. Building up one part of the body to where it is enormous deforms the body. Now, listen to me very carefully. People who try to develop only one spiritual gift and focus only on one spiritual gift are deformed. Did you catch that? You see, you're not born with some spiritual gift that you're supposed to discover and develop only that one spiritual gift. That's charismatic thinking. That is not God's thinking. No two people are exactly alike. None. I don't care if you're identical twins. You're not exactly alike. Okay? You may be very close, but you're not exact. Can I tell you something? No two churches are exactly alike. God did not intend any two churches to be exactly alike. Now, they should be very similar, but they're not ever going to be exactly alike. Their basic function is to be the same, but they'll not look the same. They might not have the same personality. They might not even have the same size, but their basic function is to be the same. Now watch this. When a person gets saved, they're supposed to get closer to God, right? God saved you so he could restore fellowship with you so that you could get closer to him. By the way, in the getting closer to him, he gave us a great commission. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was the Great Commission, the last words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth forever. Amen. Just like the Great Commission. Part of getting close to God is performing the Great Commission. That means, listen to this, did you know that every Christian, listen to this statement, every Christian is commanded by God to go soul winning. But can I tell you something? You're also commanded to walk with God. Watch this. Did you know the closer to God you get, the more you want to tell others about him? And did you know the more people you tell about him, the closer you want to get to God? They work hand in hand. You say, I don't have a desire to go soul winning, because you're not walking with God like you should. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I'm struggling praying. Then you're not winning people to Christ. Because the more you win people to Christ, the more you're going to want to talk to God. And the more you talk to God, you're going to want to talk to lost people. The more you talk to lost people, the more you want to talk to God. And the more you talk to God, the more you're going to want to talk to lost people. That's how it works. Every Christian is to aid in winning souls, getting people baptized, and helping people learn how to get other people saved and get other people baptized. That is the work of the church. That's the work of the body of Christ. Now, listen to me. Every facet of Grace Baptist Church is set up to help people get saved, help people get baptized, and teach them how to go out and get people saved and get people baptized and get them to church to get them saved and get them baptized and so on and so forth. Did you know that from the parking lot to the preaching, from the finances to the nursery, from the greeting to the teaching, from the cleaning to the soul winning, from the making of the food to whatever else we do around here to the changing of the diaper, it's all set up for people to get saved, get baptized, get their life changed, to go out and reach other people for Christ. Every aspect of it. You see, all areas of our church is for us to carry out the Great Commission. Did you know when we helped a church in Maine get started, we were fulfilling the Great Commission? That was done by the finances of our people. Did you know that when we helped Brother Owens for the last couple of years and helped the church there in New Bern get going and take care of him for the last year down there, did you know that that's us fulfilling part of the Great Commission? Did you know those half dozen or so churches that we've helped get gospel tracts for and design them for, and several of the churches we've even paid for the first allotment for? Guess what? That's us fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, some of you didn't even take part in that, but guess what? Yes, you did. You're part of this body. The missionaries that we've supported, I forgot to read the missionary letter of Brother Coral tonight, and Brother Phil Palace in Canada and others. Hey, can I tell you something? Every soul they win, we're a part of because we're helping to fulfill the Great Commission. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's what it's all about. Now, I have 20 minutes. Listen to me very carefully. Number one. You are not born with a spiritual gift. You are not born with a spiritual gift. You say, that's not the way I heard it. Guess what? You were born with a dead spirit. You were born lost. Parents with little ones, can I help you? Don't get so upset when they're year and a half, 2.5, 3.5, 4 years old. You say, this child is acting like an animal. No, they're acting like a lost person. Because they are. And once they're old enough to get saved, it's amazing once they get saved what happens to that. Because before then, they don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. Everybody doing all right? So don't get too upset. They'll get saved. And they'll change. But may I say this? A person who is born with a dead spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit cannot inhabit a dead spirit. Look at verse number 11 there in 1 Corinthians 12. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, capital S, dividing to every man severally, as he will. Did you know that it is the Holy Spirit that decides which gifts you get? You're not born with them. The Holy Spirit discerns what is best for you to have and when to get it. Now, we'll get into that in a little bit here. But let me say this. The Holy Spirit cannot and will not work with a dead spirit or a lost spirit. So you cannot be born with a spiritual gift. Everybody doing all right? As you develop as a person, as you develop as a Christian, the Holy Spirit uniquely gives you what gifts you need when you need them. I want you to notice, he gives severally as he will. It doesn't say there's just one. It says severally. By the way, no two people get necessarily the same combination. Okay? Number two. Are you ready? So number one, you are not born with this spiritual gift. You say, why? Because you were born lost. You were born lost. You say, well, if a baby dies then, do they go to hell? No. Once they reach a time where they understand right and wrong on their own, a time of accountability, then they would. But up until then, they're not accountable, and God takes that child to heaven. Did you know what? There are over 10 million or 12 million aborted babies in America since the 1970s, and every one of them are in heaven. Whether they had saved or lost parents. Say, wow, never thought about that. Yeah, there's millions of people in heaven that never took a breath on this earth. Huh. Okay, number two. You ready? We are to get close to God and win souls. As we do, the Holy Spirit reveals what gifts he wants us to have. You see, you're not to wait until you discover what your gift is and then try to use it. You're supposed to go win souls, and in the winning of souls, you'll discover what that gift is. See, you got it backwards. You want to sit there on your blessed assurance and wait for God to show you what your gift is. Once God shows you, then you'll go use it. Some of you have been sitting there for a while and haven't used nothing. God says you go out there and you start winning people to Christ, and I'll show you what that gift is. Did you know that the gifts of the Spirit are given, listen to this, so that more people can get saved? If you're not getting people saved, why would God show you what it is if you're not using what he already told you to do? So many people sit there, do nothing. Well, I'm just waiting for the Holy Ghost to show me what I'm supposed to do. God already commanded you what to do. And in the obedience of the command, you find out what your gift or gifts are. You don't sit there in the backyard waiting for the gold to jump out of the ground. It's not the United States government. It's not a welfare check. God says, you go out there, start digging, start working, then you'll find out where it's at. But until you start digging, you don't have a chance. Everybody doing okay? I'm about to have some fun. You don't take some test to see what your gift is. If a lost person can take the same test as you and have a spiritual gift, that is not a spiritual test. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. We win people and find things to do that we're good at. Did you know some of you could work in the nursery? Say, oh, I just don't want to. No, but you could. Clean yourself up. There's people that could get saved and get their life changed because you watched babies in the nursery so that we could have a civil service in here. God knows for 3 months we didn't have them. But we made it through, amen? Now, wait a minute. Some of you could discover you could help in Sunday school. Maybe it's ushering. Maybe it's helping with food with folks that are sick. Maybe it's cleaning. Amen, Miss Debbie? Maybe it's organization. Maybe it's visiting sick people. There are people in here, you are very good with folks that are sick. Did you know people get sick? Yeah. I was at the hospital yesterday. Kevin's daddy's got lung cancer. I went to the hospital to go talk to him. You know, almost every day of my life I get bad news of people's health. You know what? I visit a lot of sick people. I took my daughter with me to visit the hospital the other day, Saturday. We went to go see Brother Mark's dad in the hospital. You say, you'd take your daughter? Yeah. Guess what? Teenagers need to realize people get sick too. Everybody doing all right? All right. Maybe it's maintenance work around here. Man, there's plenty of work to get done around here. Maybe it's singing or special music, whatever it is. By the way, listen to this statement. You are not supposed to do these things instead of soul winning. You are to do it with your soul winning so that more people can be saved. It's not that you go sit in the nursery and do nothing else and, well, I did my time. You didn't do squat till you won somebody to Christ, till you witnessed to somebody. But some of you could aid in the soul winning. That's why we have a soul winning Saturday nursery. And God bless Mrs. Moore. She every Saturday takes care of that nursery. She oversees it for me. And I'm telling you what, there's been a lot of people get saved because Mrs. Moore helping with that nursery. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of people getting saved because she's helped with the nursery. But guess what? That's not the only thing she does. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. I'm about to really turn a knot in some Pentecostal tales. You ready? You're not to become a specialist. Some of you have become specialists with your gift of the Spirit, and you'll only reach a certain type of personality. Puke. Sorry, barf. Sorry, vomit. You're not to only reach one type of person that you feel you can reach.
Well, I have the gift of prophecy, or I have the gift of wisdom, so I can only deal with wise people.
You're a fool.
I know people who that they think they have the gift of discernment. If you think you have the gift of discernment, you don't, baby. Well, I have the ability to read people very well, and I happen to know that person won't listen to me, so I'm not going to give them the gospel. Who's going to die and go to hell because of you? I know people that is how they live their life. Well, I'm going to judge this person by what I see in them and decide whether my gift of the Spirit matches up before I talk to them. Baby, I'd hate to be in your shoes judgment time.
Do you know I've won a lot of people to Christ that I thought I didn't have a snowball's chance in Hades of winning? Sorry. I just tell it like it is. Gordon Taylor, I love that man. But the first time I met him, do you think I had even the slightest chance of winning him? I knocked on his door. He came to the door. I told him who I was, where I was from. He said, stinking churches. He said, I'm tired of it. Sodomite lovers. And he used another word, but I'm not going to use it in the pulpit. He said, y'all the same. Nothing but a bunch of liberals, pussyfooting. I mean, he had a list this long. And he went down the line. I thought, whoa, I like this guy, but how do I get there? Now, at that moment, do you think I really had a chance? I said, hold it, hold it. He looked at me. I said, we just had a sermon last week about and told him what it was. I don't even remember what it was anymore. He said, really? I said, really? Then I started on my list, amen? He said, come on in. Now, you think he was hard. You didn't know Mrs. Taylor. He said, honey, these folks are from Grace Baptist Church. And he said, why don't you all have a seat? She said, you going to let them sit down? I thought, oh my, this is not going to be fun. Guess what? I didn't think I had a chance. You know what? I didn't, but God did. Well, I'll go soul winning, but it's just not my gift. There's no such thing as the gift of soul winning. There is no such thing. It is a command of God. You don't need a gift when you've got a commission. Brother Smith, when you were in the Marine Corps, did they come to your room at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, well, if you have the gift of good athleticism, let's get up and do exercises?
I'm sure every man in that barrack said, this isn't my gift. It's a curse. They gave you a commission. They didn't give you a gift. If you didn't do the commission, their gift was a swift kick somewhere, and you did more of the commission. Can I tell you something? You don't need a gift. You need the commission. Once you get the commission fulfilled, guess what? God starts showing you what the gift was. See, this is why surveys aren't to replace soul winning. These churches with surveys say, well, we'll send a group of people that are not as good at soul winning to go out, and they can walk people through a list of questions, and we'll filter through those and send soul winners back to the people that are more interested, and we'll have higher results. That's cowardly. Sorry, I don't care what church it is. That's cowardly. God doesn't say go out door to door and take surveys. He said take the gospel door to door. You know how many people I've won to Christ by accident? A bunch. You see, reaching only people in your strengths limits the Holy Spirit to use you and get the gospel out. I happen to believe my God's big enough to save anybody and use anybody to get anybody else saved. Using only your gift to reach people is you playing God. Let's bring it down to where we live. When you say, I don't think that person's going to listen to me, so I won't give them the gospel, guess what? You're playing God. God didn't tell you to go out and reach the people that you wanted to reach. He said, take it to every creature. Guess what? That means everywhere you go. Not those that are pre-fit into the mold and you've prejudged them into. Man, it's getting heavy. All right, I got to hurry up here. Number three, what are the gifts of the Spirit? I'm going to list them. We're not going to take time to study each one week by week. We're not going to do an expository. I almost used another word I shouldn't use. An expository on each one of these. Whew. Man, I'm glad the Holy Spirit was on that one. I'd have been in trouble. The gift of wisdom. Mrs. Hawkins is about to have twin calves down here, let me tell you. The gift of wisdom. Say, what is that? Some of you have a better ability than others to see things God's way. The gift of knowledge. Did you know some people in this room have minds that are able to assimilate information better than others? I've got people in this room with PhDs. You say, what's that? Post hole digger. We've got several. There are a lot of people in this room with college degrees. I got some that haven't even graduated from high school. I've got some don't even have a GED. That's not an electric company either, just so you know. But can I tell you? I know some that don't even have a GED that are having more people saved than somebody with a PhD. Shame on you. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Faith. Some of you have an innate ability to trust. You just have a good ability to trust. The gift of healing. Some of you do very well with sick people. And you help and comfort and help the healing process of people. That doesn't mean you lay hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And they flip on the floor and flop around like a fish out of water. Mrs. Smith over here is a nurse. She has somewhat the gift of healing. She has used that ability to help people heal. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Gift of miracles. You take a Jerry Lowther. He has the gift of miracles. He is a walking, talking, functioning miracle. And I could go elsewhere. The gift of prophecy. Okay, listen to me. This is not somebody that is foretelling the future. David Camping is not a prophet. Say, who's that? The guy that's predicted the return of Christ, you know, seven times and has been wrong every time? Harold Camping. He's still wrong.
He's not a prophet. A prophet does this. He knows doctrine and teaches the truth. He knows doctrine and teaches the truth. Okay? Discerning of the spirits. This is somebody that's better at reading people's attitudes than others. I've got a pretty good grip on people's attitudes. I know others that can read people's attitudes a little better than others. Hey, husbands and wives, husbands, every once in a while, if your wife says, "I don't think that lady ought to be around you too much," just trust her. She understands her attitude. Fellas, ladies, just in case your husband says, "Watch that fella. Hey, I'm not comfortable around him." Can I tell you why? He understands that man's attitude. Just believe him. You don't have to question why. Just accept it. You don't need to go into a long dissertation of why. Everybody doing all right? All right, here we go. The gift of tongues. This is not jibber-jabber in some unknown language. Some have an ability to communicate with other people in other languages. Brother Rich Stoltz, he's been on vacation for a couple of weeks, but Brother Rich picked up Spanish working on bus routes in Chicago. Brother Stoltz is a total gringo. But it amazes me, and I've been with Brother Stoltz talking. I've been with Brother Stoltz with Spanish people. He can talk to people from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Guatemala, Honduras, and all of those are different dialects of Spanish. Brother Joe, you know what I'm talking about. But every one of them, he can speak clearly in their dialect, and he never took Spanish. And they all look at him like, "How do you do that?" I'm not kidding. Brother Joe, you know what I'm talking about. He has that unbelievable gift. My secretary does sign language. That is the gift of tongues. Now, she has 10 of them. You know, she has 11 tongues. But she picked it up. By the way, she used it so that people could hear the preaching of the Word of God and use it out soul winning and win people to Christ with it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Here we go. Let me ask you a question. Who will not be reached? Because either you're developing only a spiritual gift or you're not developing it at all. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at my God-given eyeballs for a second here. Did you know you can't go soul winning in the wrong place? Did you know you can't give the gospel to the wrong person? I'm for organized church soul winning. Even to the lady that called me today, mad because we knocked on her door last night because we weren't supposed to be soliciting. And I said, "Ma'am, we were not soliciting." She said, "Do you take an offering at church?" I said, "We do, like every other church in the world." She said, "Then you were trying to get people to your church to get money out of them, and that's soliciting." She said, "I know what your intent is." I said, "Ma'am, my intent is not to get anything out of anybody. Our intent is to keep people's soul out of hell and get them to heaven. Where are you going?" That went over like a lead balloon. I'm for organized times of soul winning. I'm not for chaos, but can I tell you something? If you're at Sheets and it's not 10:30 on or 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, you could witness to somebody? I could? Yeah. It doesn't have to just be organized by the church to win somebody to Christ. I planted grass seed at the end of the building. By the way, keep your kids out of the grass down or the dirt down there, all right? I planted seed in there. Did you know what? I didn't take 2 bags of grass seed and take each seed out one by one and place them on the dirt. Say why? I'd be there till Jesus comes back. Do you know how many seeds are in a 2-pound bag of seed? Man, there's millions of them in there. You say, "What'd you do?" I scattered that seed till everything was covered. I just kept scattering the seed. Will every one of those seeds germinate? Probably not. But guess what? I probably have a higher percentage of those that will because I scattered it everywhere than somebody goes out there trying to push them in one at a time.
I got more done than they will trying to do it like that. Huh. Say why? I covered the area. Guess what? Just cover the area with the gospel. I don't get a lot of disgruntled people that call me. Well, it was almost 8 o'clock and I don't think people should be out at dark. I said, I'm sorry you don't think that, but we stop at 8 o'clock. Don't worry. Well, after I told them no, they left one of your papers in my door. I said, that shows how much they were concerned that they didn't want you to die and go to hell. I said, sorry, you're offended. Well, they better not come back here or I'll call the police. I said, ma'am, do you know how many police officers I've talked to? You better study the law before you call them. I said, they'll come, but they're going to laugh at you. I said, go ahead and call them now. Give them my name and give them my phone number. I was not being unkind. I was not being rude. I was being very cordial. I talked to her very nicely like I am with you right now. Now, I prayed for an hour before I did it. Now, not an hour straight, but I knew because I got the voicemail early today. I knew what I was facing. I could tell in her tone of voice by the voicemail. I said, I got somebody disgruntled. Lord, I got to work on me before I work on them, because if I do it right now, I'm going to come unscrewed. I can't do that. I can't do that. I waited till I was strong enough to talk to him. Guess what? I never lost my cool. I didn't get upset. And by the way, I'm not mad. They're lost. They're acting like a lost person. It doesn't bother me. I'd say, are we going to go back out there soul winning? Saturday. I'll take 40 people out there. They got to get a bigger paddy wagon, amen? You know, it would be ridiculous. Listen to this statement. Some of you, if I told you, well, my eyes are starting to hurt, Brother Bush. Okay, you got a doctor's appointment 2 weeks to get your eyes checked, and then you got to wait another week to get your glasses. Quit eating for 3 weeks so that you can get your eyes fixed. It's just my eyes. Some of you have quit soul winning to discover your spiritual gift to feel better. Some of you are making people die and go to hell because you're trying to discover your gift and only use your gift. And the rest of the body is suffering for it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
You don't stop soul winning to use a spiritual gift. Can I tell you something? If you stop soul winning to use a spiritual gift, it is no longer a spiritual gift. Can I tell you something? That's why God told us to go two by two. You go two by two in soul winning. Come on up here for a second, Brother Smith. Brother Smith and I go out soul winning. Guess what? His spiritual gifts are different than mine. And if the critter across the other side of the threshold of that door doesn't match with me, but does with him, I can step back and he can take over. We got double the chance to reach that critter because there's two of us with spiritual gifts. Have a seat for a second. But if he's sitting there and not knocking on a door, not talking to somebody, how can they get the gospel? Doesn't matter what your gifts are, if you're not using them out soul winning, what good is it? The purpose of your spiritual gift is not to get up in front of a church and say, look how spiritual I am. I am using my gift. You're a Pharisee. That's what the Pharisees did in Scripture. I'm going to read one verse to you and I'm done. John chapter 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Did you know Jesus said we could reach more people than he did? He said, greater works than these shall ye also do, because I go to my Father. Say, what happened when he went to the Father? He sent us the Holy Ghost.
And he sent us the Holy Ghost. Did you know there's more people alive on the face of the earth right now than there was when Jesus was here? That means we have more opportunities to win more people to Christ than Jesus did. Everybody doing okay? People criticized Brother Hiles because 4 or 5 times he had bigger days than Pentecost. Oh, you guys are just bragging a bunch of numbers. That couldn't happen again. Well, we did it 5 times. God said, greater works than these shall ye also do. Why? Because you're out there doing it, and the Holy Spirit shows you what better you can do, how better you can use it. Hey, I've been out soul winning with my dad. There's a guy that turns wrenches. Man, him and my dad know what language to talk. I couldn't reach him. My dad can. Some of you are different professions. It's easy for you to talk to somebody when there's a similarity. Man, I have won people to Christ over that stupid deer hanging in my office. Say why? I know how to talk hunting. I know how to talk this or that. Say, what was that? Probably one of the best soul winning tools I have in this area is that stupid deer in my office. I'm not kidding. Rick, I talked to your brother-in-law. His brother-in-law wouldn't give a preacher gasoline if he were on fire. I was at his house one day, and man, he was as uncomfortable as all get out. I said something about deer hunting. He said, you hunt? I said, yeah. I said, I just got a wall hanger this year. He said, you did? You got any pictures? I said, yeah, come here. I pulled my iPhone out and showed him a couple. He said, come here, I want to show you. He took me down to the basement, showed me his deer, told me the story. Going to get him. Slow, but I'm going to get him. I hooked him. Why? Because I knew what language to talk. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guess what? That's called a spiritual gift. That didn't happen by accident. Now, if he starts talking electrical, I'll say, hey, I got a bunch of guys in my church who know how to do that, but I ain't touching it. And they understand that. That's about as far as I can go with it. But if I got Matt Smith with me, man, they're going to talk the same language. Some of you all are former military. You meet up with another vet. There's a camaraderie there. You have a natural bond. Guess what? That's a good soul winning opportunity. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you, that's the only time you'll talk to somebody, though. God says, no, spread the seed everywhere. Some of you are out there on that pad of dirt trying to push the seed in one at a time. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Took 2 bags out there. Took the rake out there and... Say, why? We'll have grass out there, amen? Or we're going to have the prettiest weeds, one or the other. Now, wait a minute. Some of you need to go out and spread the seed. In the spreading of the seed, you're going to say, wow, I didn't know it would grow there. Wow, I didn't know I could get grass there. Wow, I didn't know that would happen. You're not going to find it just sitting there looking for it, waiting on it to come. Oh, I'm waiting on the gift of soul winning. No, there's no gift of soul winning. You go soul winning, you'll find out what your spiritual gift is. Then you use it to help more people get saved, more people get baptized, more people get in church, so that they can go out and have more people saved, more people baptized, and more people in church. And it goes on and on and on and on. That is the purpose of spiritual gifts. It's not a show to get up and show everybody how spiritual you are. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Some of you know what your gift is. How many people are getting saved? Some of you don't know what it is. How many people are you witnessing to? Some of you just need to decide you're going to take the seed out and just start spreading it. In the process, God will show you what it is.